The Fantasy Focus Football Podcast is presented by Geico. Whether you rent or own, Geico makes it easy to bundle home and auto insurance. Go to geico.com today.
All right, so a little bit of an addendum here to the podcast, because as Matthew and I finished the version that you heard in its original form on live stream, we got news shortly after that. Hey, Ben Roethlisberger is done for the year because of an elbow injury that we alluded to on the podcast, Matthew. Given that context, what do you make of what it means for James Washington? Other pass catchers, obviously Juju Smith-Schuster, with now Mason Rudolph as the go-to quarterback for the rest of the season.
Certainly, look, overall, it's a blow. Ben Roethlisberger is a first-ballot Hall of Fame quarterback.
Yeah,
and
course,
all
yeah.
due respect to Mason Rudolph, he'll be better than he was on Sunday. He'll get the full first-team reps. He'll know he's the guy. They will create packages and plays that are better for his skill set. But it's a downgrade. It's a significant downgrade from Ben Roethlisberger to Mason Rudolph. So, it'll be an offense that scores less, will be less efficient. And so there's a concern here, right? So I'm going to operate with the idea that James Conner is healthy. And we don't, as of we tape this, we don't know. He left the game with a knee injury.
Right.
We're waiting to find out what's going on there. But let's assume that James Conner is healthy for the purposes of the discussion. My expectation is they would go heavier on the run game. So whether it's James Conner or Jalen Samuels, I think you'll see a little bit heavy run game. It's still a very good offensive line in Pittsburgh. That would be my expectation.
Yep.
As far as the pass catchers goes, Juju Smith-Schuster, if I was re-ranking today, Juju Smith-Schuster would still be a top 10 fantasy wide receiver, but I think he would be lower. He was probably going like 4 or 5, some maybe 6, but I think I would move, you know, you'd move some guys up ahead of him, right?
I agree on that. I agree on that. So here's what I would say too, by the way. So you're right. So Juju seems to be unaffected, or not unaffected, but not dramatically affected
You're still starting him every week, no matter what. He'll still ultimately be fine. Maybe not the ceiling that he had with Ben, but he'll be fine. He's going to finish as a top 10 fantasy wide receiver
plenty
this year.
Plenty of targets there, plenty of work. Obviously a really talented guy. Became the youngest player, I believe I saw this yesterday on Twitter, to ever surpass 2,500 receiving yards in a career ahead of Randy Moss. What about, though, Matthew, you mentioned it, you sort of alluded to it. Like, what's the chemistry going to be like between Mason Rudolph and James Washington? Because, as we talked about during the podcast, the original version, he and Mason Rudolph, James Washington and Mason Rudolph, college teammates at Oklahoma State, very productive career, seemingly would have a rapport together. That might be the most interesting sort of trickle-down storyline of this injury to Ben Roethlisberger.
Yeah, I think James Washington, who's available in quite a bit of leagues, is a very interesting speculative ad now, especially when you think about how brutal, I mean, there's no way to put it, how brutal Dante Moncrief has been. Again, we reference this in the original podcast, so he's been bad. So our friend Adam Levitan, who does a great job here, beat me to it. I was in the process of looking it up, and then Adam already tweeted it, so I might as well just read Adam's tweet. So at Adam Levitan on the Twitter there writes, James Washington has posted unreal 17 receptions, 366 yards, 4 touchdowns on 216 snaps over the last 2 preseasons, and the vast majority of them was with Mason Rudolph. Again, Rudolph and Washington teammates at college at Oklahoma State. And as I said early in the podcast, like, I've interviewed both Mason Rudolph and James Washington, and both could not have been more glowing about the other. There's a true connection there between those two.
Certainly, I think the storyline to keep in mind, I don't know that James Washington immediately catapults into a fantasy relevant role. Maybe not, certainly not a starter right away, but something to keep an eye on here. Did play more snaps in week 2, but they still have a lot of pass catchers at Pittsburgh, right? Like Juju number 1, Vance McDonald number 2, like Jalen Samuels, if he has to play for James Conner, very effective pass catcher, Deontay Johnson. There are a lot of mouths to feed there in Pittsburgh beyond Juju, but I think it is interesting to see what, if anything, becomes of the chemistry between Rudolph and also
he would
James
be the
Washington.
Guy that if I'm adding anyone, that would be a speculative add. My expectation is that Vance McDonald is rostered in 100% of leagues. I don't have it up in front of me here.
It's,
we're just,
you know, close,
I would think. And obviously Juju is. So in terms of an actionable item here, to me, the only actionable item would be grabbing James Washington. I agree. You're not starting him in week 3. You want to see this, but that would be a guy that I think, sees an uptick in value with Mason Rudolph under center. Dante Moncrief, regardless of whether you pick up James Washington, Dante Moncrief to me is welcome to Dumpsville.
Yeah, Dante Moncrief has been uninspiring through 2 weeks right now. We had some high hopes for him going into the season because of the idea that the number 2 pass catcher in Pittsburgh could be fantasy relevant. So far, he has been the opposite of that.
Yeah, and we don't even know if a number 2 pass catcher, I mean, we think Vance McDonald, especially given how low the bar is for tight ends field, we think that Vance McDonald will be viable. right, with Mason Rudolph there. But honestly, there may not be enough volume for two wide receivers to be fantasy relevant under a Mason Rudolph-led Steelers offense. So we will see. But that would be the guy that I think is sort of interesting as a speculative ad. But awful, just a horrible blow, obviously, to the Steelers, to Ben. We feel bad for his family. And for Ben, we wish him a speedy recovery. And obviously, if you're in a non-keeper league, you're dropping Ben Roethlisberger.
He is done for the 2019 season. The Steelers get going with Mason Rudolph as their starter against the 49ers in Week 3. Now back to the previously recorded podcast. The Fantasy Focus Football Podcast is presented by Century 21.
Fantasy, you're in the 06-010.
Monday, coming to you live from Fantasy Focus Football Podcast, Bill Gates, Matthew Berry, hanging out. What's up, partner? Hold on.
Hey, I'm good.
This is what happens when you do a live podcast. You gotta get that IFB stuff.
No, I'm busy. I'm researching. I got stuff going on.
You got stuff going on.
I'm looking at the note. Yeah. We got a lot going on.
We got a big day ahead. Of course, we're gonna recap every game from Week 2. There was a lot that went on, and we are excited to head to Baltimore tomorrow night. Rams Head Live. Should be an outstanding.
Do we know it? Is it actually called Rams Head, and then just you see live shows there?
No, it's called Rams Head Live.
Is the actual name? I can't hear you. I don't have my FBN.
It's actually called Rams Head Live. It's an actual venue called Rams Head Live. It should be good. I've got people in Baltimore that tell me it's pretty legit.
It's a legit place. I saw Bayside play there when I lived in Baltimore.
Bayside.
Yeah.
Is that a band?
Yes, Bayside is a band.
Tell me a little bit about Bayside.
Not an obscure band. Anthony Renari. No,
still obscure to me.
Okay.
Anthony Renari, Bayside.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we'll try to do our best.
This is a crappy band we've never heard of.
Most people have heard of Bayside, but yes.
What do you mean most people?
I mean all the cool people have heard of Bayside.
Hey, Keith, have you ever heard of Bayside?
I'd like to think that I've heard of a lot of groups, but I've never heard of Bayside.
Okay.
Thirsty Kyle, have you heard of Bayside?
No dice.
So,
rewind. Fantasy news from the National Football League.
This is the instant replay.
There's five people in this room, and only one of them has heard of Bayside.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thirsty Kyle.
Simple majority, right?
Twitter, please help me out when we do this. Twitter, please.
Just put a poll.
Yes, thank you.
Have you heard of Bayside?
Have you heard of Bayside?
Wait, be specific. The band. Because Bayside could be a town. It could be a location.
Bayside is where, Bayside is Saved by the Bell.
Yeah.
That's where Zach and Screech and
Kelly Kapowski.
Kelly Kapowski.
Yeah. Lisa. Okay.
Big fan. Lisa Turtle.
Yeah.
Turtle. Jesse, what was Jesse's
Dave
last
Coulier.
Name?
That's Dave Coulier in real
no,
life.
No, no, no,
Uncle
no, no, no,
Jesse.
No, no,
no,
no. I'm mixing my shows now. I'm looking Full House
no,
for a second.
No, was the Elizabeth,
Spano? Jesse, was that what it was?
No, it's she was the girl in Showgirls.
I know.
Elizabeth Berkley.
Elizabeth Berkley played.
She was Jesse something.
Yeah,
it was Jesse something.
Nice last name.
It was Lark Voorhees was Lisa Turtle. Dustin Diamond was Screech.
Emilio
Mario Lopez. I got that one.
Mario Lopez was AC Slater, obviously.
Yeah.
The amazing Tiffany Amber Thiessen was Kelly Kapowski.
Part of the podcast.
And
right?
I don't think we've had
Mark. Mark Paul Gosselaar. There you go.
Was Zach.
Yeah.
Although I forget Zach's last name. Zach Morris.
Yep.
I know way too much about this dumb show.
I was right about Jesse Spano.
Jesse Spano?
Yeah, that's what.
Or Spanos. Does she own the Chargers?
No, just 1-0. No relation to those who own the Chargers.
Let's get right into it.
Well, somewhere in an executive office here at ESPN, my boss Norby is going, why are they not talking about fantasy football? Puppet Norby, of course, from the fantasy show on ESPN Plus. All right.
Let's get to it. On Thursday night. Three players that generate a lot of concern, Matthew, and I'm sort of going to play a game of fish or cut bait here, right? So Cam Newton, Mike Evans, OJ Howard, all guys who disappointed on Thursday. Cam has -2 rushing yards this season. He was brutal Thursday night. 11.3 total fantasy points. OJ Howard had exactly the same number of fantasy points as you and I did on Thursday night. And Mike Evans had 10.1. So a relatively disappointing night for a guy that's so talented. So if you were to imagine those three players, obvious hold, obvious drop, or I'm still going to be patient, how would you categorize each one of them?
Well, I think there's a third category there that you didn't really name, right? So it's sort of
hold,
like
hold, cut, be patient.
Yeah, well,
fourth category.
Fourth category then, which I guess would be like, you know, panic, right? I mean, like, I guess it's a little bit of panic or patience, which we're going to play today on the Fantasy Show on ESPN Plus, right? So for Cam Newton, like, I'm panicked. So there's two things here, right? So number one is, what do you do? Well, how do you feel? And then what do you do about it, right? So in terms of how you feel, I'm nervous. Like, if Cam Newton's my only quarterback, I'm nervous. Because, look, you mentioned the lack of rushing, which is bad. So pocket Cam makes sense for his long-term health, might make sense for the Carolina Panthers franchise. Fantasy-wise, does not make sense, right? It is a lot of Cam's fantasy value since he came to the NFL obviously comes from his rushing. And if he's not running, that's nerve-wracking, right? I mean, like, it was very telling, I thought, Field, at the end of the game on Thursday night when they tried, like, a sweep to Christian McCaffrey as opposed to, you know, 2 years ago, Cam's going over the top, and you try to stop that.
No question about it. Yeah, he's been the best goal line running back in football since basically the start of his career. So along those lines, I'm concerned too on Cam.
Yeah.
There's so much quarterback depth, Matthew. This is simple, is that if you have Cam as your starting quarterback, I'm not saying you necessarily in a vacuum need to drop him, but there are other options, especially if you play in a 10 or 12 team league. You could find a serviceable fill-in starter, even if that's on a short-term basis until Cam gets things right. And if Cam doesn't get things right, Matthew, then, again, there's enough depth to find somebody else on the waiver wire to cut bait.
It'll be interesting to see because, and we'll get to it in a minute, obviously, later in the show, but there's potentially a lot of quarterback activity on the waiver wire this week, obviously, with potential injuries to Drew Brees and Ben Roethlisberger. And so we'll sort of dive into that in a minute here. But one thing I will say here about this is, so depending on where you are on the waiver wire, you know, there might be depends on how deep your league is, right? But I will say this, they're at Arizona next week. Like, if Cam doesn't get right at Arizona next week, that's when I think you've got to be like, okay, I'm out.
Totally agree.
I'm out. So I'm giving him one more week here, but to say that I'm not concerned would be a lie. Like, I have eyebrows raised and I'm very nervous if Cam's my only quarterback.
Yeah, and I'm bummed if I have O.J. Howard as my tight end. The problem is, Matthew, I'm probably staying put. Now, Bruce Arians had some damning comments after the game.
Yeah.
Basically said he's got to play better. It's kind of put him in the doghouse. The problem is this. What tight end is available on the waiver wire that you can grab? My advice to you would be patient on O.J. Howard. Yes, he only ran 17 routes on Thursday night, but the Bucs better figure something out, because at some point, it can't just be that these players aren't any good. You got to find a way to make them good. This is the quarterback / offensive whisperer in Bruce Arians. So I'm staying put with O.J. Howard and putting my belief behind the player and his ability.
This is the same thing where, similar to Cam Newton, right? So next week, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are at home to the Giants.
Yep.
To the New York Giants. So if he can't get it done against the Giants, then I think it's full-blown panic mode. And I think people are concerned, obviously, given how Bruce Arians has not really used his tight end in the past as a head coach here. The one thing I will say about O.J. Howard and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers offense as a whole, because we're also talking about Mike Evans, who's been disappointing, Jameis Winston, who's been disappointing. Remember, look, they had a tough game against the 49ers, who played pretty well. Like, 49ers are 2-0 on the road. They may be better than we think they are. Right. And then short week, bad weather, stop and start on the road to the divisional rival. Let's see what they do against the Giants. If they lay an egg against the Giants at home, then we can be full blown panic. But I'm giving them one more week, the Buccaneers offense.
The one player that actually delivered for the Bucs on Thursday night, besides Chris Godwin, was Peyton Barber, who had a nice night, 15-point night, fantasy points, 23 rushes, 82 yards, and a rushing touchdown. Matthew, I think some people are asking, should we believe in Peyton Barber? Here's my answer. It's actually less about Peyton Barber and more about what we had hoped for with Ronald Jones, right? Because there was some optimism.
Sure.
Ronald Jones in week one, the 75 rushing yards on 13 carries, looked pretty optimistic.
I saw a report from a national reporter saying this was going to be his coming out party in week two, and he ended up playing five snaps. So
in relative terms, a coming out party.
Like, I mean, I guess.
Very gratuitous definition, right?
I mean, I suppose so. I mean, he whatever momentum he had in week one disappeared in week two as Peyton Barber sort of took this backfield over. Again, it's a weird game, right? I mean, they had the weather stoppage here. It was bad weather. And so on the road at Carolina in a short week, the run game's working a little bit. So, you know, maybe they just decided to go there. Look, I don't think Peyton Barber's just a guy.
Yeah, he's just a guy. I think he's same to me. He reminds me of Adrian Peterson in the sense that, like, he's going to have some games where he can get 16 to 20 carries. He might find the end zone for you. It was a nice run. Nice run when he finished it on Thursday night. But if you're starting
Big
him,
hole.
You're not starting Peyton Barber absent having a lack of depth at running back or playing in a super deep league that perhaps is non-PPR scoring because he's a virtual zero in the passing game, which seems to be Dare Agumbaware. That was a bad pronunciation. Whatever. Dare Agumbaware. It's close, right?
Sure. Close enough. I'm going to let you keep
that
one on yourself.
He's the passing game back in sure. Tampa Bay. I'm not good with names, people. So, what can I say?
He played just 14 snaps, by the way. Dare did. And Peyton Barber played 39, just 7 snaps for Ronald Jones. Worth noting, you mentioned Adrian Peterson here. Since the beginning of last year, Peyton Barber has gained positive yardage on just 77% of his carries. Among 19 different running backs with 200 more carries over that stretch, only Adrian Peterson has been worse. Some of that's not on Peyton Barber. Some of that's been on the offensive line, which has been bad. But that's part of the gig here. And again, you think about Bruce Arians' offenses. They're not particular. I mean, it's like, think about like Andre Ellington back in the day. Like, all due respect, like, he's not David Johnson. So, I mean, like, I don't know that you expect a great running game from this Tampa Bay offense, given both how game flow you expect it to go in terms of their script. So their defense is playing better. And by the way, just Bruce Arians' pass-first nature.
We wanted a monster day from Sammy Watkins in Week 2 with no Tyreek Hill and Sammy Watkins being brilliant in Week 1. We didn't quite get it. We got 6 catches for 49 yards on 12 targets. Matthew, not much to... Listen, I don't attribute this to much. What we instead got was the coming out party for Ronald Jones, except it was DeMarcus Robinson.
Yeah, buddy.
Who had 6 catches on 6 targets for 172 yards and 2 receiving touchdowns. I'm just going to tell you right now, not worried about Sammy Watkins. 12 targets with a Patrick Mahomes-led offense, good things are going to come more often than not. But, and you and I kind of looked at each other funny before the podcast began, Matthew, what do you do with these other two guys? Because if you were to, let's say you wanted to add a Chiefs wide receiver on the waiver wire.
Now, you're the author of Free Agent Finds for ESPN.com, and I know you tend to work on your column both today, and it'll be out later today, right?
I write it on Sunday night after the Sunday Night Football game, so it's sort of in the works as we get going here on Monday morning, and then I just tidy it up.
Yeah, so have you offered a recommendation in terms of DeMarcus Robinson versus Mecole Hardman, because both guys are out there in well over 50% of ESPN leagues.
I did, and it's the kind of recommendation that I think Keith and the editorial staff don't like. I put them together as one player, right? Usually I try to pick one player, but I put them there as one player because, Matthew,
you're
I
sitting
don't
on that
know,
fence.
Right? I mean, I don't know which one I would want more. Robinson's coming off the game of his career last night. He played 91.2% of the snaps. Hardman had a touchdown. He should have had 2 except for a holding penalty. Called that one back, but one of them had 6 for 172 with 2 touchdowns. Both of them played a lot in Week 1. I think here's how I round it out, Matthew, because I think this is where we need to leave people with, is either player is a sufficient waiver wire add.
100% okay? Agree with that.
Either player could go off in a given week.
Sure.
Saw that yesterday. Either player could also be relegated to nothing more than a player that belongs on your bench at best. So
either player could be 6 for 49, now, which is what Sammy Watkins said yesterday.
Right. It is going to, I think it's possible that at some point here in the next month, which may coincide with Tyreek Hill's return, that this sorts itself out. But as we begin Week 3 of the NFL season, I'm not yet convinced that it's clearly one or the other, or I just haven't figured it out yet myself. Maybe others are convinced. I personally am not to this point.
If I had to rank them, because chances are you're not going to roster both of them, so you're going to have to put in a waiver claim. So I will just say this. And again, you're splitting hairs, right? You are splitting hairs in a significant way, because I agree with everything you just said. But if I had to pick one, I'm going to put DeMarcus Robinson over Mecole Hardman, and it's merely this. It's two reasons. One is not a rookie. So DeMarcus Robinson has been in the NFL, right? Contract year, a little bit more seasoned. And also, Mecole Hardman has been targeted on just 9.4% of his routes so far this season. DeMarcus Robinson has been targeted on 12.3% of his routes. Again, I mean, it's such a small sample size. It's just a small difference. I mean, you know, it's razor thin, the difference between these two guys. But if I have to pick one, right, because you're putting in your waiver claims, I'm probably going to put Robinson slightly ahead of Mecole Hardman. But I agree with you. I think, look, you want as much a piece of the Chiefs offense as you can get.
That's our pressing takeaway, is that good things come to those who catch passes from Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, if you're on the field with either one of those guys, it'll be really interesting. Both LeSean McCoy and Damian Williams get banged up in this game. We will monitor that. It didn't sound serious. Andy Reid referenced it in his post-game press conference, But again, it's just one of those let's wait and see as it goes along. Again, a stronger run game may mean less passing as well.
Hiring can be a slow process. Cafe Arturas COO Dylan Miskowitz needed to hire a director of coffee for his organic coffee company.
Sure.
He was having trouble finding quality applicants, so he switched to ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its technology identifies people with the right experience and invites them to apply to your job, so you get qualified candidates fast. Dylan posted his job on ZipRecruiter and said he was impressed by how quickly he had great candidates apply. He also used ZipRecruiter's candidate rating feature to filter his applicants so he could focus on the most relevant ones. And that's how Dylan found his new director of coffee in just a few days. With results like that, it's no wonder 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. See why ZipRecruiter is effective for businesses of all sizes. Try ZipRecruiter for free at our web address, ZipRecruiter.com/06010. That's ZipRecruiter.com/06010. One more time for all those who aren't listening the first two times. ZipRecruiter.com/06010. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. All right, moving along here, Matthew. It was better to see David Montgomery actually carry the football a lot late Sunday against the Denver Broncos. 18 for 62 with a rushing touchdown. Here's the good news.
They gave him, by the way, I don't know how much of that game you watched, but they gave him, I want to say, 17 straight carries from like the 3 to finally
insane.
Get in. Like, I mean, it, like, and then there was a penalty and it kept going. And it was just one of those things where it's just like, do you think that was confidence in David Montgomery? Like, we're going to, hell or high water, we are getting this kid a rushing touchdown. Or do you think they were just that frightened of Mitch Trubisky throwing the ball?
Maybe the latter because of how Mitch has played so far. So good news, bad news for David Montgomery. Again, good news, 18 rushes. Good news, finds the end zone. Leads the Bears in terms of running back snaps, 26 compared to 13 for Mike Davis and 21 for Tariq Cohen, who, by the way, was back to that running back
role. Right, I know.
Don't super weird. Don't try to figure it out. Discouraging news here, Matthew, was that the expectations for David Montgomery coming into the season were not like, oh, he can get you 13.8 fantasy points with one catch on 6 yards, but that he could be a star for you right away. This Bears offense is a tough watch right now.
Oh. I mean, brutal.
What a wacky finish to that game. I'm not saying that I'm not dropping David Montgomery, but, you know, right now I'm feeling a little bit disappointed in the expectation compared to the expectations I had going into the season.
See, it's interesting. I have the exact opposite reaction. I would buy low on David Montgomery. Like I'm encouraged by the usage, and I have to believe this offense gets better. Okay. And honestly, I think they get better starting in week 3 because they're at my Redskins. Like, so I have to believe that the offense gets better than what we've seen so far. And so David Montgomery, who of the 25 different running back carries that the Chicago Bears gave out on Sunday, David Montgomery had 18 of them, 72%. Of the Bears running back carries, and so we know he can be used in the passing game as well. Look, to your point, he's averaging 3.3 yards per carry. The whole offense is putrid. I mean, it's putrid. I mean, like,
quite bad. Yeah.
I mean, you know, Matt Nagy, offensive genius, is a nickname that may be going away soon.
I was having this thought though today, actually, but you bring that up. You cannot. I think you can say, like, you have to choose a side here. If you think Matt Nagy's an offensive genius, then you think Mitch Trubisky's a problem. If you think Mitch Trubisky's a good quarterback, then you don't think Matt Nagy's a genius.
Yeah.
Right? Because if they coincided, they wouldn't be this bad on offense after, by the way, last year being like a bottom 12 offense in terms of scoring.
Yeah.
A lot of weapons there too. Whole offensive line is good. Yeah. Pass catchers are good. Got a problem there in Chicago potentially. I think it's a quarterback.
It may be. Trubisky has not looked good. There's no question about it, but you don't know. You don't know how they coached him up. You know, maybe. To your point, listen, Matt Nagy, and whatever, this is a fantasy podcast, so we'll get back to this, but, like, Matt Nagy, how much of that was Andy Reid? Matt Nagy did not call plays in Kansas City for a long time. There's only a short period of time where he was actually a play caller, and it was all Andy Reid's system, which, you know, I mean, like, listen, there's a very good Andy Reid coaching tree, so, you know, that's not necessarily a bad thing, but it also could be like, Like, you know, we don't know here with Matt Nagy.
I think I side, though, on the I'm on the Trubisky not being a great quarterback side.
I think that's the more likely outcome here. I would agree with that. Again, by the way, Mitch Trubisky doesn't have a large sample size himself. He only played 1 year as a starter at North Carolina. I think 14 games as
a
starter.
13 total
13,
starts. Yeah.
Something like
small
that.
Number.
Like, small number. So maybe he's still getting acclimated, but tough start there for the Chicago Bears and Mitchell Trubisky, who a lot of people have as their starting quarterback in deeper leagues, 12, 14 team leagues.
Bye-bye.
I mean,
bye-bye.
You know, like, it's
going different. No, you're right. It gets better next week with the Redskins, but I'd still be hunting for somebody.
I mean, I have Trubisky. I don't have Trubisky as my. I have Trubisky as a starter in a couple leagues in two quarterback leagues. Like, I'm in a 14 team two quarterback league, and he's my starter there.
He probably still starts in that situation.
Yeah, but it's not. I'm not happy about it. You're like, right. It's not
you
ideal.
Yes,
it's definitely not ideal. And last thing I'll just say, Broncos fans, you guys got screwed.
You sure did. And
That was ridiculous. Like, I have no dog in that fight. Like, I'm just telling you, like, Broncos won that game.
So let's speak about the Broncos and their running backs for right now, because there are a lot of refs we could probably get mad about yesterday. The Broncos running backs, more 50-50 than they were last year. Royce Freeman yesterday actually had a pretty reasonable game, 15.2 fantasy points. Do you think he should be getting more love than Philip Lindsay, who had 36 rushing yards and 30 receiving yards yesterday?
I don't know that he should be getting more love than Philip Lindsay. I do think he should be getting more love in general. Like, he was I had him like on a sleeper column. I think during the fantasy football marathon, you know, they run those, you know, like, he was one of the guys that I had listed as a sleeper, that ran during sort of what we call the scroll, there. Look, this is what we thought was going to happen. We talked about this in the preseason, that our expectation was that Royce Freeman was not 100% healthy, and that with a new coaching staff, they wanted this to be a true 50-50 split. And yesterday, Philip Lindsay, 38 snaps. Royce Freeman, 38 snaps.
Pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, like, so when you talk down the middle, you're talking literally down the middle. Interesting enough, both guys have 53 receiving yards. Now, Philip Lindsay has 13 targets. Royce Freeman has 8 on the year, 7 of which came yesterday, which I think was encouraging if you have Royce Freeman, that they're now involving him in the passing game, because that was sort of the thought coming into the year, was like, Royce Freeman's going to be the early down goal line back. Philip Lindsay's going to be the change of pace, the third down back. You'd prefer Philip Lindsay in PPR just because of the passing. But if Royce Freeman's going to get 7 targets, and actually he was better in the receiving game than Philip Lindsay, 5 for 48 for Royce Freeman, Philip Lindsay just 4 for 30 in the receiving game here, we expect Royce Freeman to end the year, or at least I do, I should say. I expect, assuming health for both guys, Royce Freeman winds up with more rushing touchdowns than Philip Lindsay at the end of the year.
Wouldn't be surprised.
Right.
He's probably a better finisher. Right now, they're used comparably, as you mentioned. The red zone and goal-to-go usage has been pretty much identical. A lot of their stats have been similar, but this is, people talk about having backfield splits. This is a split of a backfield I think we can find in the NFL at the moment.
But I think both are viable flex plays, given, like, the offense isn't great.
It's bad.
But it looked better than I will say this. It looked better than I thought it would against Chicago. Chicago's one of the best defense.
Way better. I mean, we'll talk about a player in a second that I totally messed up on, but way better than I expected it to.
Right. Yeah. I mean, like, so, look, again, I'm not saying the Broncos offense is good, but I think it is competent enough to generate fantasy value in a flex-ish sort of way for Royce Freeman, Philip Lindsay, and certainly Emmanuel Sanders.
Emmanuel Sanders, man,
is a fantasy superstar.
Listening to the podcast or watching the TV shows this past week saying, no, you got to stay away from Emmanuel Sanders. Hand up right here. I said, me, this guy, whichever camera catches me, I said, fade Emmanuel Sanders. Stay away. That was a good call, huh? 11 for 98 with a touchdown.
I had Emmanuel Sanders and Cortland Sutton on the hate list.
Yeah. Well, listen, Sutton
worked out, but Sanders.
Listen, I benched Sanders in a couple of leagues. I benched him. Like, this was not me, you know, speaking to people blindly. Like, I did it myself, and Emmanuel Sanders was awesome yesterday. 11 for 98 with a touchdown, plus a 2-point conversion. We've said it probably 12 times so far already since we started the podcast back up this season. What a ridiculous recovery he's made from an Achilles tear in December.
So I will say this. As much grief as you and I should get, or negativity as we should get for bad calls on Emmanuel Sanders this week as a start, we should get some applause, because you and I both were very early on in the preseason. Like, I remember saying, like, guys, he's going as wide receiver 43. This is a guy that was wide receiver 11 before he got hurt. Like, look at the Instagram videos that he's posting. Look at these, look at the preseason game film. This guy's healthy. I don't understand why he is. It makes no sense that at age 32, 8 months removed from an Achilles injury, that he's 100% healthy, but the guy looks awesome. He's a physical freak of nature and he is a tremendous draft value. So that is something that I talked about and you agreed with me as well that we hammered throughout the preseason. So if you benched Emmanuel Sanders, you at least have him on your team, in part because of us, Field Yates. He is the third best wide, as we head into Monday Night Football, he's the third best wide receiver in fantasy right now.
Yeah, behind only DeMarcus Robinson, like everybody expected it to be, right? DeMarcus Robinson, wide receiver one in week two.
Thirsty Kyle dug up this. Since the start of last season, remember obviously Emmanuel Sanders missed some time towards the end of last year. But since the start of last year, Emmanuel Sanders has six different games with 85 receiving yards and a receiving touchdowns. The only players with more such games over that stretch, Antonio Brown and Adam Thielen. I mean, it's unbelievable. So
pretty good company to keep right there.
And I will just say, as we talk about sort of like, you know, who's a fluke, who's not, you know, fact or fiction, you know, fluke or real, I think this is real. Again, Emmanuel Sanders has always produced when he's been healthy. I don't know that he winds up the year as the third best fantasy wide receiver, but I think he's obviously a top 20 guy.
A 10-second non-fantasy note. The Broncos restructured Joe Flacco's contract just before the season that made it much more difficult to cut him after this year.
Interesting.
What were they thinking there? Joe Flacco is not the long-term answer in Denver. Drew Brees might not be the short-term answer for New Orleans after a thumb injury knocked him out of yesterday's game.
I think there are some real questions about John Elway as a, you know,
quarterback
as a general
evaluator?
Manager, as a quarterback evaluator.
It's, you know, sometimes the people that do things so well themselves have a hard time understanding how others could or could not do it as well as you'd expect out of them.
I remember when, for a very brief period of time, Magic Johnson was the head coach of the Los Angeles Lakers.
Yeah, once.
And it didn't
right.
work out. And people couldn't understand why wouldn't it work out. And the problem was, and I'm not saying this is necessarily the case with John Elway, but the problem was, I remember because, you know, I'm a huge Lakers fan, and so I remember talking to people around the team. The problem was is that they would get to practice, and Magic would be like, yo, why don't you do this? You need to do this, and you should be doing this. And people would be like, yeah, Magic, there's four people on the planet that can do that, and you're one of them.
Right.
Like, I mean, so it's the problem is that, yeah, I mean, the expectation maybe sometimes or how you see the position, because John Elway played it at the highest level, you know, one of the all-time greats, and same thing we were talking about Magic Johnson. So that may be the issue, but certainly the track record so far in Denver, aside from bringing in Peyton Manning, has not been great at the quarterback position, and Joe Flacco doesn't inspire a lot of confidence. I do think he is competent enough to get the ball to Emmanuel Sanders and Cortland Sutton going forward as well. Like, I think Cortland Sutton is going to be fine.
Sure. He's shown that much so far. By the way, as we entered the NFC Championship game rematch, a lot of the buzz was about Drew Brees and Jared Goff. Unfortunately, Drew Brees gets hurt. His helmet hits Aaron Donald hit his thumb hits Aaron Donald's helmet on a follow through. Obviously, no foul play or anything from Aaron Donald, just the occupational hazard of being a quarterback. So Brees leaves early. So Teddy Bridgewater steps in and threw for like 130 yards. Interesting note here. Actually, Teddy Bridgewater earned $250,000 yesterday for surpassing his passing yards incentive from last year. That being said, it did not look particularly great, Matthew. How much does this impact Teddy Bridgewater being the starter for potentially a little while? Because Adam Schefter has said, you know, Drew Brees stayed over with a hand specialist last night.
Yeah, our own Stefania Bell actually, you know, sort of hypothesized on Twitter. I think that I want to say the name is Stephen Shin.
Okay.
She's like, I wonder if he's staying. Stefania knows all these doctors, and she's just like, right. I wonder if he's seeing Stephen Shin, who's like the best hand specialist in the world. And sure enough, like 2 hours later, Mort's reporting, yep, actually, that's exactly what's happening.
Good job. I'm pulling up a tweet right now.
So good job on Stefania. Good job on Mort for digging that out. So we'll have more news hopefully later today, or at least before you go into waivers. This is obviously terrible news if you have Drew Brees. I think it's not that bad a news if you have any of the other Saints pass catchers, and I'll tell you why.
Okay.
Because I think the only guys that you were really counting on were Michael Thomas and Alvin Kamara.
Yeah.
And I think both guys are going to be fine. I mean, again, so after Teddy Bridgewater took over, Michael Thomas had 11 targets, 8 for 65. He had, a significant target share, like a, you know, he basically, you know, 34% targets per route run. Like, I mean, you know, 25% receptions per route run. Like, Michael Thomas was Michael Thomas. Jared Cook makes me a little bit nervous, but still 5 targets, 2 for 25. This is a game that was tough, right? So again, like, if Teddy Bridgewater's the starter, and Field, you can talk about this as well as somebody who's worked in the NFL, but look, Teddy Bridgewater maybe got 5 passes all of practice week.
Yeah, right? I'm sure the reps were limited, even with Drew Brees being 40 years old. So it's no different than what we talk about with, like, and we talked about this last week, like, hey, Mecole Hardman had 0 targets in week 1. Maybe the Chiefs get him more involved because the expectations going into week 2 were that he was sort of practicing to be a starter as opposed to practicing to being a third or fourth option in the passing game the week before.
Right, exactly. And so Teddy Bridgewater, who got a couple of snaps, you know, with backups, you know, when Drew Brees was done in practice. Now, if Drew Brees is going to miss any time, Teddy Bridgewater comes into the week knowing he's the guy, and Sean Payton and his staff will design a game plan around what they think Teddy Bridgewater does well, what he doesn't. He's going to take all the first team reps. He'll be more prepped as well. And so, the Saints who next week
go to Seattle.
Yeah, go to Seattle, which is not a defense that scares you at the moment, right? So I think Teddy Bridgewater will be fine. I don't know that he's necessarily anyone you want other than a deep league or a 2-quarterback league. But I think as it relates to Michael Thomas, Alvin Kamara, and to a lesser extent, Jared Cook, I think they'll be fine.
Right. Like, I don't want to say that it doesn't impact the value of Michael Thomas.
Of course
Thomas
it does.
At all. Of course it does. It's Drew Brees not being there, but not enough that I'm like, you know, I'm not trying to sell low on Mike Thomas or Alvin Kamara. Like, you know, they'll still figure it out. They'll still be weekly fixtures for you.
There'll
going
still be
forward.
Guys that you're starting every, there'll still be no brainer, set it and forget it starters. The offense won't be as good without Drew Brees. It's not going to be as efficient. There won't be as many scoring opportunities, but it's not the sky is falling. Like, what I think this does mean is, like, if you were hoping for Ted Ginn or Traquan Smith or getting some of the more obscure Saints guys, I think their fantasy value, that goes away. And you could see maybe a slight uptick for Latavius Murray. Maybe they go more run heavy with Teddy Bridgewater under center. But again, we'll wait to see the results of Drew Brees' visit to the hand specialist.
Todd Gurley got a healthy share of the workload. And you know what's funny, Matthew? How about this? Hold on, if I may. Drew Brees, this is what happens when you do a podcast live. Adam Schefter tweets, as we are, like, literally wow. wrapping up this Schefter. Conversation. Saints quarterback Drew Brees is expected to undergo thumb surgery as early as today. Would expect to sideline him for approximately 6 weeks per league sources. So, there you have it. 6 weeks on Drew Brees. We said, though, our piece. For 6 weeks, or potentially longer,
we feel
okay about the value of Mike Thomas and also Alvin Kamara.
Here's a question for you.
Yep.
10-team ESPN standard 10-team league.
Drop him.
You dropping Drew Brees?
Yeah.
I agree.
I mean, listen, you can't
hold a guy for 6 weeks. We're about ready to get into bye weeks after
right,
week 3.
Say, I don't know when their bye week is, but what if the bye week is after that 6 weeks?
Thursday,
right?
Kyle, look up when their bye week is real quickly. I'm talking to Field. I got stuff going on.
7 weeks of not having to fill in your quarterback spot. Yes, I think that is grounds for dropping a player at a spot where there is good depth.
2-quarterback league, deeper league, you're hanging on to Drew Brees, but in a standard 10-team league, week 9 bye. So you wonder, so we're here in week 3, Shefty's saying 6 weeks, don't you think he's not coming back till week 10?
Right.
I mean, it means basically you're not getting this guy until week 10. I mean, so, and they're home to Atlanta, but here's the schedule. It's interesting. So at Tampa Bay, it's a nice schedule. It's a nice schedule there those first 2 weeks, at home to the Falcons, and then week 11 at Tampa Bay. Although the Tampa Bay defense, give Todd Bowles credit, the Tampa Bay defense playing better, at least in week two, they played better than I think we expected. So, yeah, I mean, it's crazy to think about this, but in a standard 10-team redraft league where you only play one quarterback, yeah, drop Drew Brees. You don't want to hang on to him until week 10.
Yeah, I would say so as well. By the way, man, I mean, he's been remarkably durable. So you're bummed to see Drew Brees suffer a thumb injury of this nature. All right, back to Todd Gurley. He got a healthy share of the workload yesterday. He had 16 rushes for 63 yards and a touchdown. I think, though, that Todd Gurley and what you think about him is somewhat of a Rorschach test of fantasy football.
Really? Okay. I'll play along.
There are some people who are saying, like, ooh, like, hey, so I'm actually a little bit disappointed from what I've seen so far. Uh-huh. Be honest with you. And here's the reason why, Matthew. And I know I already know what your retort is going to be.
Okay.
He's got 8 receiving yards so far this season.
Yeah.
8 in 2 games. He had 30 or more receiving yards in 11 of the 14 games he played last season. He was a legitimate difference maker as a receiver last year. 63 rushing yards and a rushing touchdown yesterday. That part's fine. 15.7 points is fine, Matthew. I wanted more. And I know what you're going to say.
What am I going to say?
You're going to say, but that was baked into his ADP, right? Where you're getting Todd Gurley.
No.
My thing is this, though, is first of all, some mock drafts we were doing, we saw him when we were doing the marathon, he was going in the top 10 picks, right? Yeah. Second, like, I think a lot of people were either paying a premium for him in an auction draft or they were drafting him at the back end of the first round. I think it's a bit disappointing. I won't sit here and tell you, and I love Todd Gurley, one of my favorite players in the NFL, but it's been less than what I was hoping for.
Well, listen, there's no question it's less than you're hoping for, right? I mean, so week one gets vultured twice by Malcolm Brown. Week two, to your point, not involved in the passing game at all, which is shocking to me. I mean, he's had four catches this season that have gained just 8 yards. And what's shocking to me is, like, that goes against everything you sort of think about, right? You're like, oh, well, if they want to save wear and tear, if they're worried about the knees, wouldn't you think there would be an increase in that? Try to get him in space. And by the way, just a Sean McVay offense, it relies on that so much. That's such a, at least to date, it has been such a staple of McVay's offense. It's just is involving running backs in the passing and sort of that, I don't know what they call it, but the play where basically, you know, they all go one way, Gurley comes the other way.
It's like a throwback.
It's like a throwback, right? And so
I can't swear in the podcast, but there's some iterations called the oblique screen.
Right,
you
exactly.
Do a tight end.
Yeah, exactly. But they do a version of it with Todd Gurley, and it's like it's a staple that Sean ran in Washington, and it was a staple of the Rams offense. So I wonder why they haven't done that yet. But here's the thing. We said this all last week. We said this on Fantasy Football Now. And thank you. You're welcome, America, if you listen to us, because people were freaking out about Malcolm Brown. And what I say is, it's like, look, guys, this is just, it's going to be like 65-35. It's going to be 70-30. They want to give Malcolm Brown a couple of series a game. And so for two straight weeks, Malcolm Brown has gotten three series in the game. And all of his carries have come in those three series. And week one, that's why he got the touchdowns, because they just happened to get down on the goal line and ran it in back then. So, I mean, there was a series where Malcolm Brown came down and they threw a touchdown down there. Malcolm Brown didn't get into the end zone. Malcolm Brown, by the way, averaging 5.3 yards per carry this season. Did Malcolm Brown make your free agent finds column? I would hope so.
After week one, he did. I'll have to go revisit that for week two. I mean, I haven't finished. The column has not been submitted yet, yep. But,
To me, he is, if you don't need anyone for this week, and we're going to talk about like James Conner and everything like that, he's rostered in 47% of leagues, so he would make the cutoff. So he's still available more than 50% of leagues. He needs to be rostered in 100% of leagues. I don't get what people are waiting for, because if anything happens to Todd Gurley, obviously this guy's going to be a top 10 fantasy running back. And as it is, he's providing flex value at the moment, like especially as we start getting into buys.
Just a note for those who might read the column regularly. I'm trying to avoid this year just like routinely putting players that every week, like I'm like, I don't want to make the same argument for them. So like Malcolm Brown should be rostered in 100% of leagues. He won't be. He never will be despite all of our efforts.
Yes.
So like the point I made last week remains the same this week. He's the backup to Todd Gurley in an offense that we still believe can be very good. The Fantasy Focus Football Podcast is presented by Century 21 Real Estate. You constantly shuffle your lineup, you scour the waiver wire, maybe for Malcolm Brown, and you make trades to improve your team. Shouldn't you spend the same amount of time looking for a real estate agent who makes as many relentless moves as you? 70% of people settle for the first agent they meet. Did you keep the kicker you drafted? Of course not! Century 21 agents go above and beyond to make sure their clients enjoy an extraordinary experience at every point of the home buying or selling process, even after the closing. They do the work so you don't have to, which means more time for you to figure out your flex situation. Century 21, relentless moves. Find a local agent today at century21.com. Century 21 Real Estate LLC fully supports the principles of the Fair Housing Act and the Equal Opportunity Act. Each office is independently owned and operated. Now we get to Lamar Jackson, who is our relentless moments. Or excuse me, relentless moments is brought to you.
Before we get to Lamar Jackson, just one last thing I just want to talk about Todd Gurley real quickly for 1 second here, which is that I am worried about the lack of passing game usage. I have to believe that is coming forward. I am still more bullish than nervous about Todd Gurley. If you look at his yards per carry after first contact, He's averaging 2.47 yards per carry after first contact. That's better than 2018 or 2017. The explosiveness is starting to come back. It still feels like it's not 100% there, But I like the fact that he is running hard. I like the fact that he's getting as much work as he is. The Rams offense as a whole doesn't feel like it's fully in sync just yet as well.
Lamar Jackson makes our Relentless Moments, and Relentless Moments is brought to you by Century 21. Lamar Jackson became the first player ever in NFL history with at least 250 passing yards and 120 or more rushing yards in a regular season game. Colin Kaepernick actually did it in a playoff game previously. Matthew, I don't think the question is Lamar Jackson a weekly starter? To me, the question is, if you were to redraft today, would Lamar Jackson be the number one quarterback in fantasy football for the rest of the season?
He would not be.
He would not. Okay, I agree on that. But would he be in the conversation for the top three?
Yes.
Okay, so I would imagine that it goes Patrick Mahomes one.
I agree.
And there's no question about that.
Yes, sir.
Would number two perhaps be Tom Brady? Still not there yet?
I think Watson for me.
Okay, Deshaun Watson.
I think I would have Watson. I think I would have Brady at three and Lamar Jackson at four.
Okay.
But I think he's borderline top three, and he's definitely top five.
Okay, I agree with you on that.
That would be my rankings. Would you have Brady at two?
I think I would have Brady at two if Antonio Brown continues to play for the rest of the season, which that's a huge question mark right now.
So
but if I knew it was Antonio Brown playing, then yes, it would be Brady. Obviously, if you're drafting, you wouldn't know that.
Right.
So I guess I'll give the edge to Watson in that case.
I think because of the rushing as well, I'd give the edge to Watson. But that's how I would rank it.
And then
it.
Brady, and then Lamar Jackson. But Lamar Jackson, listen, I said this at the end of the preseason. I was nervous about some of my concerns about Lamar Jackson during the offseason. And I'm petrified of them. Like, I'm an idiot, is basically what it comes down to. The guy has proven a lot of people wrong.
Yeah.
I don't want to say, but, however, we'll just note, the competition has been pathetic in the first 2 weeks, right? The Dolphins were awful in week one. The Cardinals were bad in week two. He should be much better. He should be much better tested in week three against a Chiefs team that obviously is amazing on offense and improving on defense, right? Just 10 points yesterday. Hey, 10 points allowed yesterday.
Improving, yeah.
Against the Raiders. That was better. But Lamar Jackson, for the rest of the season, has a chance to be the kind of play, like, based off where you drafted him, Matthew, he could be a league winner, and we're already 2 weeks into the season. We're only 2 weeks into the season.
There's no question about it. So, here's this upcoming schedule. At Kansas City, home to Cleveland, at Pittsburgh, home to Cincinnati, at Seattle.
Yeah.
There's not a defense
ridiculous,
in there that scares you.
Ridiculous. There's 5 game stretch coming up.
Yeah, and look, and we I don't know that we expected this, but we did talk about this in the preseason multiple times that we expected this offense to be a lot more wide open. Lamar Jackson was made my preseason love list. He was a sleeper for me. He was a sleeper for a lot of people as well. And so we sort of expected some of this. Like, we talked about how John Harbaugh was going to, like, hey, this offense is going to revolutionize football. I don't know that it's revolutionized anything,
but
it's certainly much more. It looks good. It's more wide open than it certainly was before. And what was encouraging about what Lamar Jackson did yesterday was that he started running. Like, we were like, oh yeah, he beat up on Miami. He didn't even run.
Right.
But now in addition to the throwing, now he's running, and it's just like, whoa, it's kind of, this is crazy town.
16 rushes for 120 yards. So, yes, Lamar Jackson for the rest of the season. Until further notice, unless something dramatic changes, of course you're starting Lamar Jackson every single week.
I got a text from a friend who said, yes, and so I haven't told you who the friend is.
Okay.
It's somebody you've heard of. Anyway, but whatever. So I got a text from this guy, and he says to me, he goes, I have Patrick Mahomes and Lamar Jackson.
Bill Murray.
Which
Bill Murray, yeah.
Where you... where it's somebody in the superhero league. I'll just leave it at that.
Okay, gotcha.
And so my question to you, Field Yates, is if you had, which could certainly happen based on where they were drafted.
Yeah,
you know,
it's possible.
Like,
yeah.
Would you, and he was trying to figure out what to do. And I said, you know, he's like, I'm trying to trade Mahomes. And I said, I would trade Jackson personally. But I mean, like, I think that's, you know, are you selling high on Lamar Jackson, I guess, is the question.
Put it this
for
way.
You.
I'm not selling Patrick Mahomes unless someone offered me
exactly,
like, you know, the moon, right? So, yes, of course I would be looking to trade Lamar Jackson out of those two. Patrick Mahomes, been there, done that a little bit longer, and it's ridiculous. He did it with Tyreek Hill yesterday, without Tyreek Hill yesterday.
I think the counter question to that would be is, like, if the rest of the league basically feels the same way, like, yeah, I'd rather have the guy that's proven it over a full season than the guy that beat up on two bad teams.
You get better value.
Would you feel comfortable with Lamar Jackson as your starting quarterback? Would you be comfortable if you got a king's ransom for Patrick Mahomes? Would you feel comfortable trading Mahomes and saying, like, I'm just rolling with Lamar Jackson?
Listen, absolutely. Absolutely. And now listen, it would take a king's ransom to your point, but yes, I would be comfortable with Lamar Jackson as my starting quarterback going forward.
100% agree with that as well, and this is good news for Marquise Brown and Mark Andrews.
And both of those guys were awesome yesterday. How about the volume for each of these players? 13 targets for Hollywood Brown. After playing 14 snaps in week one, he had 13 targets yesterday, 8 for 86, 16.6 points in PPR. He didn't find the end zone, Matthew, but that's just fine. What he proved, as did Mark Andrews, who had 10 targets, 112 yards on 8 catches plus a receiving touchdown, is that these guys are locked in. So, Marquise Brown, he is more than just a big play threat, Matthew.
Yes.
He has to be ranked every week. He will be a top, I would imagine, 30 consideration at wide receiver until proven otherwise right now. The guy has incredible speed. We know that much. And just think about this. Yesterday showed you what, like, I think yesterday is what you want most. 13 targets, 86 yards, and 8 catches. But you're going to have games. He's going to have 4 or 5 games this year where even if he has just 4 catches, he's still going to sail past 100 yards because he's DeSean Jackson right now, but younger, probably, you know, comparably fast, if not a little bit faster, and more consistent based off of how they are using him in this offense for 2 weeks.
And honestly, DeSean Jackson, who's, and we'll get to the Eagles in a minute, but DeSean Jackson has a bunch of weapons around him. Marquise Brown is sitting there with, like, you know, we'll talk about Andrews in a second, but Miles Boykin and Willie Snead, and like Marquise Brown is the guy. He ran 32 routes last week, which was up from the 8, the only 8 that he ran in week 1. He's got a 32.7% target share, and this is insane, Field. He's been targeted on 45% of his routes. Like, I mean, like,
ridiculous.
Basically almost half of his routes,
now,
he gets a
down,
target
obviously.
That's going to come down, but still, like.
But, like, if you draft him in the 13th round, 14th round, you're feeling really good about that.
Wherever you got Marquise Brown this year, you are making a profit. One quick note on Mark Andrews. Since Lamar Jackson, this goes back to last year, and it's why Mark Andrews was a bit of a sleeper for a lot of people coming into the year. Since Lamar Jackson took over as the quarterback of the Baltimore Ravens, Mark Andrews is 4th among all tight ends in receiving yards and 5th among all tight ends in fantasy points.
Yeah, he's good.
He's been nothing short of terrific. He has 528 receiving yards in 9 Lamar Jackson starts. The only tight ends with that many yards in their first 9 games of 2018, Zach Ertz, Travis Kelce, George Kittle, Jared Cook.
So certainly some good company to be in there for Mark Andrews, who has been a stud. All right, Kyler Murray has been all passing and no rushing so far. But weirdly, Matthew, and I know that I shouldn't be saying, like, I feel like I'm cutting him a bit of a break here. But as somebody that rosters Kyler Murray in one league, it's a keeper league. But also, you know, I care about this year too, right? Is I'm actually encouraged overall with what I've gotten out of Kyler Murray through 2 weeks. 16.4 fantasy points yesterday. Again, 94 attempts as a thrower. Now, game script has helped, but they're going to be bad defensively for a long time.
Yes, they
are. He's going to have to throw it a ton, and they play 4 wide receiver sets all the time. What I'm interested in, though, is that yesterday, they kicked 3 field goals from inside the 5-yard line. 3 of them. Just imagine, like, I'm no Mike Clay here, but I think the analytics would tell you that, like, when a team has the ball inside the 5-yard line, more often than not, they're going to score a touchdown than settle for a short field goal. Imagine if the touchdown production goes up just a smidge and the runs go up just a little bit.
Yeah.
Kyler Murray could unlock and become just an absolute factor.
I think there is a large sample size of Cliff Kingsbury's offense working, at least on the college level, obviously.
Sure.
I think the jury is still out on whether Cliff Kingsbury is head coach material.
Yep.
So,
to your point,
to your point about the decision making. But what we care about is the fantasy points and the numbers, and I agree with you. Like, I'm a Kyler Murray fan. I'm a Kyler Murray believer. I have drunk the Kool-Aid. I believe the rushing will come. Your second game ever. Your second game ever as an NFL pro with a not a good offensive line and having to go to Baltimore. And oh, by the way, you lost David Johnson for about half this game. Like, he went out with a wrist injury, came back in, which is good. Yeah, which is
great.
He's
fine, he says after the fact.
Yeah,
he's fine.
Yeah, and he scored a touchdown, so, you know, bailed out your fantasy day if you're wondering why the numbers weren't really there. But, you know, he got the touchdown, but just didn't get a ton of volume. But he missed a decent chunk of this game while he was getting his wrist checked out. But, yeah, I mean, at home next week against the Carolina Panthers, they should be better. And I think as the season progresses, again, sort of think about rookie quarterbacks last year. Again, think about Lamar Jackson over the second half of the year. Think about Baker Mayfield over the second half of last year. Better days are ahead for Kyler Murray, to your point. If you told me after the first 2 games against Matt Patricia and going on the road to Baltimore, Kyler Murray was going to be averaging over 16 fantasy points a game without running that much, that he would be a top 12 fantasy quarterback so far heading into Monday Night Football, I think a lot of people would have signed up for that.
He's QB12 so far with virtually no running. I don't know how the running gets going, because if you haven't really called it through two games, I'm not sure what changes, but maybe Cliff Kingsbury has more to sort of open up with Kyler Murray next week when they go back home, as you mentioned, against Carolina. So the 49ers backfield yesterday, Matthew, had three guys that all stepped up.
By the way, he may not design any runs, but with Luke Kuechly on your butt, you're running anyway.
Sure, you might just run. You might just run for 75 yards. That'd be sweet.
Yeah.
So yesterday, 49ers had an awesome day of running back production with Tevin Coleman on the bench because of his ankle injury. Yeah. Raheem Mostert, he had 13 carries for 83 yards, plus three receptions for 68 yards and a touchdown. Jeff Wilson, 10 for 34 with two touchdowns. Matt Breida, 12 for 121, no touchdowns. So Breida led the team in rushing, played 21 snaps yesterday. Yeah. Like, that's a totally serviceable day, right?
Yeah.
And he was the third best running back. So people are probably waking up and wondering, okay, which one of these guys do I add, right? I got to add one of these two between Mostert and Wilson. Which one of these do I play next week? I got to play maybe two of them. I just don't know, Matthew. This was basically the perfect storm. This was a borderline. This is like, you know, this is, I mean, this is literally like throwing a perfect game in baseball.
Sure.
Right? Like, everything went right. Wilson gets the two touchdowns, which obviously that's, I guess, it's hard to call a guy a vulture when he gets 10 carries in a game, but still, he gets two of the touchdowns. Mostert has a long receiving touchdown. But here's why I'm not so optimistic on any of that. First of all, they pitch a perfect game.
Yeah.
Second of all, San Francisco goes home next week and plays Pittsburgh, who week one, the only thing the Steelers did well was stop Sony Michel. 15 carries on 14 yards. Chris Carson was, you know, to be honest, I have to check his numbers from yesterday, but still.
He was okay, but he fumbled twice. I mean, right. he fumbled twice. Rashad Penny got a long touchdown there, but you know, Seattle did not run the ball. Seattle ran the ball better than New England did in week one, but they didn't run the ball great. 15 for 60 for Chris Carson.
So not great. So
not great, and that's one of the best runs.
It's a good run defense. And third thing here is that the 49ers go on a bye in week four. They've got a week four bye. Tevin Coleman, we don't know when he'll be back, but if a possibility exists that he's back in week five, Matthew, then all of a sudden you're talking about three guys who all of them might be backups in one more game. Yeah. So my takeaway is, it's interesting. I would add Mostert in like a deep league because he's a good pass catcher as well. But I think all things being equal, like, I'm not investing in them for my roster with the expectations of getting much more than just a fill-in replacement later in the season or one more week of utility.
I'm a little more optimistic on Mostert than you are just because of the injury history, not only of Tevin Coleman, but of Matt Breida, who has struggled with injuries throughout his career.
Fair.
And so Mostert, I thought this was interesting. So Thirsty Kyle dug this up. So when the game was within 10 points, again, this was kind of a blowout here. And kudos to the 49ers, by the way.
2-0 on the road.
2-0 on the road, right? I mean, 2-0 on the road, and Garoppolo looked good yesterday. Again, the Bengals defense isn't anything, but still, Garoppolo looked solid. You know, kudos to Kyle Shanahan. But when the game was within 10 points, here's the snap count. Matt Breida got 11, Raheem Mostert 7, Jeffrey Wilson Jr. 2.
Right.
So it feels like Wilson, who was elevated from the practice squad over the weekend, you know, is clearly the third guy there. And so I think that Mostert, given what we've seen so far this year, right, he's averaging 5.6 yards per carry, 22 for 123. To your point, had the long touchdown. He's looked good. He looked good in limited time last year as well.
Right.
Not to bring it all back, but the Alfred Morris rant. One of the reasons why that Alfred Morris rant happened and why Alfred Morris out of the blue went from a game where he got 18 carries to a game where he played one snap was because Mostert looked really good and played well in that Monday night game against the Packers.
Yep.
And so my expectation here is that given the injury history of Coleman and Breida, that I wouldn't mind a flyer on Mostert, and that, you know, if you were in a deeper league, you were a little bit desperate, you could potentially use him as a flex next week against the Steelers. Don't love the matchup to that point, but I think a worthwhile flyer if you're sort of sifting around. You're one of those leagues where there's like no running backs with a pulse.
I don't know if anybody is really worried about George Kittle, but let's just be the first to tell you. You shouldn't be, right? I mean, listen, he had 54 receiving yards yesterday on three catches, four targets for George Kittle. I think he has 21.8 points through 2 weeks this season. That's actually better than where he was last season when he had 18.2 fantasy points. Remember, people, week one, he was robbed of two touchdowns because of penalties called back against the Buccaneers. Here to tell you, if you're at all worried about George Kittle, let's just nip this in the bud right now. 26.4 target share this season, right where he was last year, down 0.1%. No need to be worried about George Kittle, despite a modest non-Kittle-like day yesterday.
If I was in a league where there was somebody that was a panicked manager in my league, and they had either Mike Evans or George Kittle, those are two of my favorite buy-low targets right now after the first 2 weeks of guys that I don't, that I'm not worried about.
I agree on both of those names.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to come back in just a minute and talk about what is up with the Vikings passing game. Kirk Cousins, dude, yuck. Cold lock of the day yesterday for me was that Kirk Cousins would throw more than 10 times. The problem was, Matthew, he did that, but sometimes he threw it to players that play for Green Bay. Wasn't a particularly notable performance, in at least a positive way, for Kirk Cousins. But should you be concerned about what it means for Adam Thielen and Stephon Diggs? Diggs was limited to one catch for 49 yards and a touchdown. He also lost a fumble. Now, here's some good news on Stephon Diggs. He had a touchdown that was called back due to an offensive pass interference call that was at best iffy. At best iffy. It was called against Dalvin Cook. It was actually one of those that the referee initiated the challenge or initiated the review. To me, I'm not a fan of that, of how things are playing out right now with the pass interference rule.
The flags have been nothing short of insane. It was an offensive pass interference, but not on Diggs, right? It was a pick play.
It really wasn't even a pick play. It was just like Dalvin Cook just like sort of just was running his route and kind of just the defender. It's at the goal line. So the defender, there's not a lot of space to backpedal, right? So anyways, a ticky-tacky call. Stephon Diggs probably could have had two touchdowns. He ends up with one 49-yarder and a touchdown. Thielen gets you 5 for 75 in a receiving touchdown. So again, this would be one of those like, panic or patience. If you were to do the fantasy show on ESPN Plus, just doing it in podcast form right now, would either one of these guys be obvious plus, obvious panics, obvious patience? Maybe both fall into the same category.
Yeah, I guess I'm not worried about it. I think both guys will be just fine here. So to your point, right, about these guys. So Stephon Diggs on the injury report in week one, right? It was a game where they've dominated. And Thielen scored a touchdown in week one.
Yep.
Week two, Diggs scores two touchdowns. One gets called back on a very questionable play here. And, you know, Thielen still got eight targets, still went 5 for 75 in this game. No, I'm actually not worried at all. I mean, Kirk Cousins probably wasn't a starting quarterback for you anyway. And mm-hmm. And if you're sitting there looking for a Drew Brees replacement, potentially a Big Ben replacement, I think there's probably other guys with more upside than Kirk Cousins.
Yeah, I feel the same way.
But Thielen and Diggs will be just fine. By the way, I think we're underselling the Packers defense. Packers have a good defense this year.
It has been a weird start to the passing game for the Vikings. Right, week one they faced a not great defense and they just torched them because Dalvin Cook is running so hard. And you're right, the Packers have an amazing defense so far. We have learned that through two games. They have been very, very legit. Which leads us to their quarter. Okay, go ahead.
I just wanted to say real quickly about the Vikings. That run game is so awesome, and I am begging
Dalvin
you out there,
Cook.
If you have Dalvin Cook, grab Alexander Mattison, because Alexander Mattison has looked awesome so far, and obviously Dalvin Cook's been amazing, right? But if anything were to happen to Dalvin Cook, like just I'm asking you, if you have Dalvin Cook, stash Alexander Mattison.
Yep, I agree on that. Third round pick out of Boise State, who has run hard every chance he's gotten so far for Minnesota. All right, we talked about Green Bay's really good defense. So they've won because of their defense. It hasn't been because of their offense. Are you worried about Aaron Rodgers? Because, again, we said this last week going into the game. Listen, you made a major investment in Aaron Rodgers. The good news is, well, I guess maybe not the good news. The reality is he faced two awesome defenses out of the gates, Chicago and Minnesota.
Sure.
Problem is, it doesn't get much easier against Denver next week, man.
No, it certainly doesn't.
So I'm not worried though, right? This is the first time he has been held under 15 points in consecutive games within the same season since week 16 to 17 of 2015. So patience is the key here with Aaron Rodgers. I mean, I think he would be actually a very good buy low candidate right now from someone else in your league.
I'm not gonna
Or maybe not. Maybe what you're, I guess what you're going with this is, let me guess. They still got to play the Lions twice. They got to play the Bears again. They got to play the Broncos this weekend. They got to play the Packers again. Maybe it's the schedule so good.
They're home to the Broncos. Yeah. Like, not a great matchup. Not a terrible matchup, but not a great matchup. They're home to the Eagles. You like that a lot. At Dallas, that's tough. Home to Detroit should be a little bit tougher. Home to Oakland.
Yep.
At Kansas City, so that's nice. Look, things will get better. Here's what I will say about Aaron Rodgers. I think he's going to be fine. I agree with you there. I think, and when all is said and done, assuming health, I think he finishes as a top 10 fantasy quarterback. I will say, when all said and done, I don't think he finishes as a top 3 fantasy quarterback, which is where he was drafted.
Right. That's a problem. Is when we just had that conversation about our top 5 quarterbacks earlier on in the podcast, I didn't think about Aaron Rodgers at all.
No. And honestly, I think you could make an argument that if you redrafted today, and we'll see what Baker Mayfield does tonight, but if you redrafted today, I think we both agree Mahomes, in some order, Mahomes, Watson, Lamar Jackson, Tom Brady, all go ahead of him. I would argue for Carson Wentz.
Matt Ryan,
right? You know, I think potentially Baker Mayfield goes ahead of him.
Maybe Kyler,
who's, you know.
Yeah, and he has been a non-touchdown maker and has the 12th most fantasy points so far.
Yeah. I mean, so my point is like, yeah, like I said, I think when all is said and done, I think he finishes inside the top 10 of fantasy points, but I don't think he finishes inside the top 5. And the other concern here is that, the positives are that he looked good. He looked like Aaron Rodgers, at least at the start of that game.
Yeah.
I remember, like, I put him on the hate list this week, and after he came out with this, like, hot start, and I was just like, oh boy,
yeah,
this could turn ugly for me. By the way, I ended up getting it right, because basically his projection was 17 points. I put him on the hate list, which means I'm taking the under. He finished with 14.4 fantasy points, even after the hot start. So I ended up getting that one right. One I did not get right, Field Yates, in a massive, massive way, and I'm thrilled about it.
Right.
Aaron Jones.
Free Aaron Jones. Yesterday's star for the Packers. 23 rushes, 116 yards, plus a touchdown. He also nabbed 4 grabs for 34 yards.
Thank you. Finally, they used him in the passing game. I mean, my whole reason of putting him on the hate list was, first of all, the tough matchup with the Vikings. So kudos to them for solving that. But the other thing was, like, he wasn't free. Like, this is a guy that just wasn't getting significant snaps over Jamal Williams. And I was just like, come on, what are you doing here?
So,
but finally, I'm like, please, nervous. I'm begging you, free Aaron Jones. So you know what? You're welcome, America. I just want to say, you're welcome, America. Our long, hard-fought battle. You know, we have taken to the streets. We have signed online petitions. We have done everything possible to hashtag free Aaron Jones. And you know what? Aaron Jones is free. You're welcome, America. You're welcome. Thank you, Matthew. You're welcome.
Thank you, Father. I'm very
there you
nervous,
go.
Though, still. Here's why.
Are you? He's the star of your War Room League team. You've got Aaron Jones.
Well, he's one of our better players. Let's hope that he
he's better than Cody Latimer, who you had to start yesterday.
So, yeah. Desperate times call for desperate measures. But Aaron Jones played 42 snaps yesterday.
Yeah, he did.
Jamal Williams played 30. Jamal Williams is going to be a factor for the Packers when they have to go up-tempo, when they have third and got to have in situations, passing game scenarios, right? Over the next 4 weeks, as we just mentioned, the Packers play a good Broncos defense. They play an Eagles defense that so far has allowed 40 rushing yards on 22 carries to Darius Geis pre-knee injury and Devontae Freeman. Two guys that are good runners, right?
Yeah.
Run defense is legit in Philadelphia. Dallas, we think that team is very good.
We do.
And then Detroit, whose front seven is the strength of their teams. Max Harrison, Mike Daniels, Flowers, et cetera. 4 straight games where I could see a lot of Jamal Williams coming up. So, again, it's not so much I roster Aaron Jones. I'm not saying I'm trying to trade him or whatever. I'm just nervous that the freeness might be a more short-term thing than a weekly pack.
I was encouraged by the fact that Aaron Jones got 6 targets, 4 receptions. Again, 23 for 116 versus 9 for 28 and Jamal Williams in terms of the rushing. And then, again, whatever, Jamal Williams caught the early touchdown pass. I am more, listen, I've been sucked down this hole before, so we'll see. But I am hopeful that in a game in which the Packers ran the ball effectively here and, you know, did well, my hope here is that they will see this, that Matt LaFleur will see this and say, like, you know what? We need to continue to keep Aaron Jones free, that he will get the workload. I will take, look, I don't care what Jamal Williams does. If Aaron Jones gets 27 touches, I will take that.
That would certainly be very good news. Carlos Hyde continues to get a lot of work for the Houston Texans, Matthew, and maybe more than we expected him to get. 38 snaps yesterday compared to 25 for Duke Johnson. And Carlos Hyde continues to run hard. 20 rushes, 90 yards. Spooky?
What do you think? No, you know what I am? I'm the ghost of Carlos Hyde. I've come back.
What are you doing? Yeah, you're quite spooky.
I'm running the ball. Wow. Effectively. Whoa. Remember when I was good? I'm back. Woohoo. Spooky, spooky.
That's pretty impressive right there. Okay. So that was pretty good. No, I agree,
though.
Thank
you very much. It's the ghost of Carlos Hyde.
No, that's pretty good. So here's the good news. Carlos Hyde's running hard, averaging nearly 6 yards per carry in his two games with the Texans, and he's clearly a factor. My question, though?
Yes, sir.
Is this just Adrian Peterson again, right? Whereas I'm like, he is a volume-dependent, non-passing game factor, low propensity for big play upside type of runner.
Yes.
That's sort of where I feel, too.
He's a flex.
Yeah. But here's what I would say is that...
But by the way, 2 weeks ago, he was left for dead.
Right.
2 weeks ago, I mean, that's what I'm saying. The ghost of Carlos Hyde, like, he was left for dead. We were like, you know, like 2 weeks ago, we were dancing on his fantasy grave saying, like, I can't believe people thought Damian Williams wasn't going to be the starter in Kansas City because of Carlos Hyde. He's not even going to make this team. He was running. He played significant snaps in the fourth preseason game for the Chiefs.
Right.
Like the game of which, like, we're just trying to get through this game. You're all going to be cut tomorrow game. Like he was the, like, we don't care what happens to you in the fourth game because we're not planning on using you. He got significant snaps in that. So we're all just like, hey, it was a good run, Carlos. And then here you go. All of a sudden, 20 for 90 in a victory against the Jaguars for Carlos Hyde.
I think this is actually less about Carlos Hyde and being a weekly fantasy play and more about the idea that Duke Johnson,
not
exactly what we thought it was going to be, right? Duke Johnson had zero catches on one target yesterday. Yeah. I thought that maybe Duke Johnson would have a chance to repeat that 2017 season where he was a top 20 running back. The early return suggests not going to happen.
Well, I think when the Duke Johnson trade happened, one of my reactions initially was, well, this is bad news for Kiki Cutie. And it might actually be Kiki Cutie's return might mean the reverse, actually. Bad news for Duke Johnson. You know, it was just sort of it was kind of a little bit of a weird game. It was kind of a sloggy game, you know, between the Jags and the Texans. Really wish they'd pulled it out, by the way. Gardner Minshew, come on now. That would have been awesome. But
it really wouldn't have been pretty sweet.
But yes, I think I don't know how you can start Duke Johnson with any confidence going forward until we see some production, some consistent production on the field. And I agree with you, Carlos Hyde is a low upside flex, is just a warm body, if you will. Like somebody that, like, again, 20 for 90 is legit, but like you're hoping he needs to fall into the end zone here because it doesn't look like he's going to be involved in the passing game enough to be viable without a touchdown.
Agreed on all that. We're talking about Josh Allen and the Bills, but first a word from DraftKings via our friend Matthew Berry.
No, that's not true. I've got DraftKings.
Yes.
Let me ask you, Field. Is there anything better than watching football?
Nothing.
Of course there is, Field. It's watching football with the DraftKings lineup on the line.
My wife would give it a different answer, but go ahead.
Well, especially this week. I'm going to keep right on going, Matthew. DraftKings, the leader in one-day fantasy football, is giving new users a free shot at over $1.5 million in prizes with your first deposit when you sign up at DraftKings.com/FFF. Draft your lineup and feel the sweat like never before. Every run, throw, and catch mean more with DraftKings lineup on the line. It's simple. Just draft your lineup, stay under the salary cap, and see how your team stacks up against the competition. Plus, all new and existing users can get a deposit bonus of $500. That's some extra cash to play with this football season. Nothing adds to the sweat of watching this game quite like having a shot at $1.5 million. So head to DraftKings.com/FFF right now for a limited time. All new and existing users can get a deposit bonus up to $500. Plus, new users will get a free shot at over $1.5 million in prizes with your first deposit. That's DraftKings.com/FFF for all new and existing users to claim your special offer. Only at DraftKings. Minimum $5 deposit required. Deposit bonus requires a 25 times playthrough. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. And Field, tell me all about that Josh Allen, because he was in my DraftKings lineup this last week, and boy, was I happy with that decision.
Yeah, it certainly worked out for you, Daniel. So he was awesome again yesterday. He had a rushing touchdown late to help seal this game. The Bills are 2-0 at MetLife Stadium this season. 253 passing yards for Josh Allen. We've talked about Drew Brees already. We mentioned he's out for at least 6 weeks, according to Adam Schefter, or close to 6 weeks, according to Adam Schefter. Ben Roethlisberger, he is undergoing some more evaluation today for an elbow injury, yes. Matthew. We haven't really presented, though, a great quarterback fill-in if you have to replace one of those two guys. To me,
we're about
the
to.
One that comes to mind is Josh Allen, with sure. his running ability, 6 rushing touchdowns in his last 6 games. Would he be your top approach or your top ad on the waiver wire this week? Because he would be mine.
I have not looked yet at okay. who's available in more than 50% of ESPN.com leagues. Since you are the author of Free Agent Finds, what
yes,
I do
is
what helps me is just going to ESPN.com and reading Field Yates' column. That always helps me. But yes, so without knowing who else is out there, I would say Josh Allen should be at the top of the list here. Look, I think Josh Allen is legit, right? I mean, since week 12 of last season, he has 33% of the Bills' red zone carries. Like
right.
they like the rushing ability, just gives him such a high floor. Remember from week 12 on last year, this guy was the number one quarterback in all of fantasy football. The addition of Smokey John Brown. John Smokey Brown. Is it Smokey John Brown or John Smokey Brown?
I think it's just Smokey Brown.
Smokey Brown.
Yeah.
So to me, is something that certainly helped that offense, as has been a good run game. Now we'll find out. Devin Singletary got banged up in this game as well.
He left it late. Yeah.
Yeah, with a hammy.
Frank Gore playing more. So, but yes, here's my thought on Josh Allen right now.
Yeah.
If you look at quarterbacks that are available in over 50% of leagues on ESPN.com, it's guys like Jimmy Garoppolo, who had one good week last week. Mm-hmm. I mentioned this earlier though. Jimmy Garoppolo goes into a bye. If you're going to replace Drew Brees or Ben Roethlisberger, are you going to want to roster Jimmy Garoppolo and then drop him and have, or keep him and roster a third quarterback a week from now? My thought is no. Andy Dalton threw for a ton of yards again yesterday, but a lot of it came on a late 66-yard touchdown, and they played that game yesterday at home. I think if I were evaluating quarterbacks, there's really only one obvious ad right now on the waiver wire, and it's Josh Allen.
Yeah.
Josh Allen, 6 rushing touchdowns in his past 6 games. He's improved as a thrower. Better weapons this year. The offensive line's been steadier. And oh, by the way, both of his games have been on the road. Now, he plays the Patriots next weekend, and their defense sure seems to be there.
Sure.
I'm sorry, 2 weeks from now, they play the Patriots. They play the Bengals next weekend, Matthew. He could have a monster week in week 3.
There's no question about that. Listen, so Allen would be my number one choice. Give you a couple other names in terms of some quarterbacks that are available in more than 50% of ESPN.com okay. leagues. So, Jameis Winston, I know how bad he has looked, but if ever there was a week at home to the Giants, and then his next 2 games at the Rams, at the Saints. So
yep.
2 games in which you would expect, although the Saints are certainly a lot different with Teddy Bridgewater under center, but you would expect them to be able to, they're going to have to throw in those games as well. You mentioned Garoppolo. Look, how about some Andy Dalton? I mean, you know that offense
yeah,
is...
I mean, my thought is that, you know, it gets more difficult going
yep.
forward with the schedule. And maybe you can count on this. Like, you kind of need junk time for Andy Dalton to be
yeah.
relevant. And maybe that's what you're counting on, which is fair.
I think you can and should count on that as well. And, Andy Dalton is somebody that just, I think, long-term, not somebody who has, to your point, he's at Buffalo in week 3.
Right.
Tough
not a great matchup.
You're not loving that for Andy Dalton, but just in terms of longer term as well. One thing that I think is sort of interesting here is... the Indianapolis Colts and Jacoby Brissett. 3
Ooh,
touchdown passes on the road at Tennessee.
Yeah,
getting
not bad.
More involved in that offense. The Colts play, they are at, they are home to it. Let's look at the schedule. Look at the schedule for the Colts.
Mm-hmm.
Home to Atlanta.
Okay.
We expect a lot of points to be scored there.
Sure.
That's
yeah,
a
yeah,
secondary
yeah.
that you can throw on. Home to Oakland in week 4.
Like that.
And then week 5 at Kansas City.
I like that one.
I mean, again,
waiver wire column right
so
there.
I think I like Jacoby Brissett is somebody, you know, again, 3 touchdown passes, starting to get better. It's a good offensive line, and I like 2 home games and then a game at Kansas City. They have a bye in week 6, however.
All right, let's keep this one rolling here
yep.
and get to the last handful of topics here. If Devin Singletary misses any time, is Frank Gore a flex play better than that? Because right now, all we know about Devin Singletary, he left yesterday's game because of a hamstring issue, and Frank Gore continues to run hard, Matthew. 19 for 68 with a touchdown, an absolute truck stick on the goal line to score that touchdown yesterday. I like Frank Gore as a player. I love Frank Gore as a player, but I still think the value is somewhat capped here, right?
I think similar to the things we just talked about with
Adrian Carlos Hyde.
Yep. Like, not going to be involved in the passing game that much. They have TJ Yeldon there. You also have the potential vulture from Josh Allen. Having said that, at home against the Bengals, that we just saw Jeffrey Wilson Jr. score. I mean, and Raheem Mostert. Like, if ever there was a week to fire up Frank Gore, it might be this one on Sunday if Devin Singletary is going to miss any time.
Yeah,
as well.
Very limited information right now on Devin Singletary. But the Frank Gore doesn't make the waiver wire column again. Volume is king in fantasy football, and he continues to be very reliable when he gets his opportunities. Reliable just means that, like, you know, hey, his reliability is a different definition than Dalvin Cook's reliability, for example.
Sure. I will say, by the way, Devin Singletary looked great.
He did.
Before he left this game, he looked really, really good, continues to impress. I think it's only a matter of time. You know, one of the things we said was like, if the season doesn't go the way the Bills want to, and towards the end of the year, they just want to give the young guy, you know, so far the season's going exactly how the Bills had hoped. I mean, you know, they're 2-0.
Great. Yep.
They're 2-0, but I think Devin Singletary continues to take more and more of this running game role, assuming health. And so we're all hoping for the best there with Devin Singletary.
Seems like a ridiculous question here to even ask, but let's just, rather than asking it, let's state it. Austin Eckler is locked in as a top 15 running back until Melvin Gordon is back. Matthew, huge workload yesterday, 17 rushes for a rushing touchdown. He had 6 catches for 67 yards. He did lose a fumble, and I know that there was
jump, yeah.
Yeah, but still, like, Austin Eckler, he's the real deal here. No major concerns for me at all for you?
No.
Yeah.
A top 15 easy mid-tier RB2, you know.
The workload
set it
there.
And forget it.
Justin Jackson, has run well for the Chargers, but it's clear that Austin Eckler is getting the majority of the work. He's very involved in the passing game. They've got a lot of pass-catching injuries right now. Mike Williams got banged up again yesterday. Yeah, I'm in on Austin Eckler as a locked-in top 15 running back until Melvin Gordon returns.
So far this year, he has gotten 69.5% of the Chargers' running back touches. Through 6 weeks of last year, a healthy Melvin Gordon got 66.5%. Like, Austin Eckler's actually touching the ball more than Melvin Gordon did through the first 6 weeks of last year when he was healthy. So I have to tell you something, and he's been terrific. And especially, by the way, when you think about the struggles of that offensive line and just sort of the short passing attack of the Chargers, Austin Eckler's a perfect fit. Now, once Mike Williams gets more healthy, he played in this game, he sort of limped through it. But, yeah. I'm an Austin Eckler believer.
All right, Matthew, tell me more about TD Ameritrade before your beloved Terry McLaurin and the Redskins.
I will be happy. I don't want to shortchange TD Ameritrade,
okay,
but I do want to get to Terry McLaurin. All right, here's what they want me to tell you. You know that fantasy football feeling field?
I do.
When the excitement for a new week builds?
That feeling. Okay, got it.
You flex your analytical skills by poring over stats, studying charts, and trying to spot trends. Maybe even listening to a podcast or two. Well, what if I told you that you could use those same skills to invest and feel that same sense of anticipation every single day? Because TD Ameritrade thinks you can. That's because a lot of the same analysis skills that you use to set your lineup can help you build a portfolio. Not to mention, TD Ameritrade has all the education and investing tools you need to feel confident when you take the trading floor. There's paper money, so you can practice trading risk-free, charting to help you spot trends in the market, and they'll even create an investing training plan that's unique to you and your needs, complete with exclusive videos, webcasts, and courses. Just visit tdameritrade.com/fantasy to learn more. That's tdameritrade.com/fantasy to get started. Member SIPC. Our friends at TD Ameritrade Field.
That's right, and Fantasy Trends is brought to you by TD Ameritrade. And this week's trend follows Terry McLaurin, who remains a delight so far through two games this season. Matthew, he is as much of a real rookie wide receiver as basically anybody other than maybe Marquise Brown. That's it. Terry McLaurin has been awesome and rock solid for the Redskins through two games. A rare bright spot for them.
The last wide receiver with 60 receiving yards and a receiving touchdown in each of his first two career games? Calvin Johnson in 2007. I'm just
pretty
saying,
pretty good
Daniel
company
Dobb,
to be in, huh?
You've heard of him, right?
Yep.
Look, here's a guy that's averaging over 17 air yards per target, catching over 62% of his targets. Look, he is getting a massive target share and a team that is going to be trailing quite a bit. Case Keenum is not a great quarterback, but he's a serviceable one. Again,
he's been fine so far.
Again,
yeah.
You think about Emmanuel Sanders last year. You think about Adam Thielen and Stephon Diggs back when he was in Minnesota. Case Keenum has supported multiple legit fantasy wide receiver. So again, led the team in targets. He's playing almost every snap. McLaurin is. They're going to be in negative game script quite a bit. And by the way, if and when Case Keenum loses his job, who comes at quarterback?
Dwayne Haskins, his college teammate.
His college teammate at Ohio State. And so when I interviewed both Terry McLaurin and Dwayne Haskins at the NFLPA rookie premiere this past May in Los Angeles, and I have to tell you, I asked both guys what the Redskins were getting in the other, and they couldn't have been more glowing about each other and just talked about. And Haskins specifically told me, he's just like, after the Redskins drafted me in the first round, like I started texting him, like, go get me one of my guys. Go get me one of your guys. I'm asking you, please go get me one of my guys. And so he was talking about either, Terry McLaurin or Paris Campbell.
Yep.
And so Terry McLaurin, of course, comes in the third round, and the Redskins are thrilled.
All right, so let's get to the last couple of notes here.
Completely legit. Should be the number one is he your number one waiver claim this week?
I believe he is number one. I have him number one. I actually may have somebody else.
This is, and people might think I'm being very hot takey, and so I want, because everyone accuses me of being a Redskins homer. So I want your reaction to this.
When you say accuses, you mean
that's
correctfully
true.
Calls you as a Redskins homer. Yes,
fair, understood. I think if I have Terry McLaurin ahead of either the Chiefs guys.
Of course. I have the Chiefs guys like fourth in the waiver wire column. I just don't know where.
They're splitting it up. Here's the thing. Tyreek Hill may be back at some point.
Right. I just don't know how. Certainly of the players ranked ahead of the Chiefs guys, they will probably not score as many points as the Chiefs guys. But I don't know which week the Chiefs points will come. So I have Terry McLaurin number one on my waiver wire ads this week.
He is the guy of all the wide receivers that are out there that has the best chance of continuing in his role. He is the number one guy on a team that will continue to pass a lot. And it's not like, again, Tyreek Hill's going to come back at some point for the Kansas City Chiefs. At least we expect that to be the case. And so, you know, we expect AJ Green to come back for the Bengals at some point, you know, for those that are thinking of still rostering John Ross. So McLaurin
Ross
is the guy.
Way past the waiver ad threshold, by the way.
Okay,
couple of final
enough.
Topics
yes,
here.
Sir.
And I don't want to sort of skirt the topic, but Ben Roethlisberger and James Conner are in major evaluation mode today.
Yeah,
so what we say right now could look dramatically different, heck, by 4 p.m. today with more context and information. Here's what we know right now on Ben Roethlisberger. There is a fear he might need elbow surgery. He is going to do everything he can, according to Adam Schefter, to not have elbow surgery later on today. But he did leave yesterday's game early. Mason Rudolph played for basically the last 35 minutes of this game yesterday. All the second half plus a few drives at the end of the first half. James Conner left the game with a knee injury. They were down at this point, and it was one of those games they had to throw to keep up, so we didn't see much in the way of running game. But for right now, Ben Roethlisberger, James Conner, how do you handle what these two injuries could mean for the fantasy purposes going forward?
Well, obviously not ideal. So Mason Rudolph would be the guy. And again, it's the same thing that we sort of talked about with Teddy Bridgewater.
Right.
Like, it's not a fair evaluation of Mason Rudolph. Give him a week to get all the reps and get in there. So, look, I think I think if there's something to be encouraged here, it's the fact that, you know, Vance McDonald, who was on the love list coming into this week, I didn't expect it to happen. Yeah, but it certainly worked out, right? Two touchdowns here for Vance McDonald. He had a very nice game, and so there seemed to be a bit of a connection there with him and Mason Rudolph. You expect that. Juju's going to be fine. He'll still get a heavy target share. He's still an insanely talented player. Juju will be fine. But any of the other guys, to me, the biggest beneficiary here, if Mason Rudolph would be James Washington, his college teammate. And there seems, when in the preseason, when you looked at sort of what James Washington was doing, it was with Mason Rudolph under center. Dante Moncrief has been nothing short of a disaster.
Correct. And by the way, James Washington played way more snaps yesterday than Dante Moncrief, who could quickly be on the outs. I believe he is trending in the wrong direction. I get it. It's just 2 weeks, but Dante Moncrief.
Well, there's an injury with a hand or the thumb or something like that, and you saw it a little bit taped up, but he got one target. It hit him in the hands. He had to jump up for it, but he hit him in the hands and it went through his hands and the Seahawks intercepted it. So, you know, when you think about all the drops that Dante Moncrief had in week one, and then you add to the interception here and the fact that there is a real connection between Mason Rudolph and James Washington, again, college teammates at Oklahoma State,
prolific,
they were terrific. And so, my expectation here is that James Washington should make your waiver wire column if he hasn't already.
Yeah, I'm not sure about that. We'll see. I mean, only one catch for 11 yards with Mason Rudolph on the field yesterday. So we'll see.
I understand. Yeah. I'm calling it here. I'm calling my shot here that I think James Washington is somebody that I would be picking up as a speculative ad if Ben Roethlisberger is going to miss significant time. As for the running game here and James Conner, I think it would be Jalen Samuels.
Yeah, he might be my top waiver out of the week, to be honest with you.
If James Conner misses any time, Jalen Samuels needs to be 100% rostered.
I think he actually is one ahead of Terry McLaurin at the beginning of the waiver, as things are currently constructed.
I got no issue with that.
Yep.
Terry McLaurin would be my number one wide receiver. But if James Conner is out, Jalen Samuels should be the number one waiver ad.
Yep.
And by the way, I'm sure James Conner will miss time, and I'll tell you why. Because I am in the War Room League.
Uh-huh.
And every year I get tons of injuries in the War Room League.
You don't
this
have
is what's
James
crazy.
Conner. I thought you had Le'Veon Bell and Todd Gurley.
No. I don't have Le'Veon Bell. I have Todd Gurley, James Conner. Here are my running backs in the War Room League. Todd Gurley, James Conner, and Devin Singletary. That's right. Todd Gurley is my healthy running back.
That's unbelievable.
That's who my healthy running back is in the War Room League at a 16-team PPR league. I also have Malcolm Brown, but literally next week, I mean, because it's 16 teams and I won this week, so I'm not going to have a good waiver spot. Literally my starting running backs in the War Room League might be Todd Gurley and Malcolm Brown.
All right,
like, that's all I got. Like, I mean, I may just have to just go Rams.
All right. For the going forward, we will publicize who Matthew takes in the War Room League right away in any waiver claim moves you make so as to avoid those players going forward. That's a big, long show right there, Matthew. We are back tomorrow, but we're doing it live from Baltimore. During that live show tomorrow, I'm sure we'll have the latest on any of this injury news. Maybe we get more context on Ben Roethlisberger.
Wait, are we doing it live so they can watch it live? Hang on. No, we're not doing it. We're doing it in front of an audience.
We're doing it live as in we're doing it in front of a live audience. My apologies there for the confusion. We have a show tomorrow night at Rams Head Live in Baltimore. We look forward to that in the meantime.
Which means there is no show tomorrow morning.
Right. Correct. No show tomorrow morning. Show on Wednesday will be the show from Rams Head Live, which is Tuesday night. So you'll get that on Wednesday morning.
Good stuff.
Also, all the tickets are sold out to Rams Head. So unfortunately, if you missed out, you can't do it, but just check out the podcast Wednesday morning when it goes out.
Look forward to that.
Try to sneak in. I don't know what the security is there.
Sure.
Like, just try to sneak in. Just, you know, rush the stage or whatever. It's fine.
Looking forward to that. It'll be figured out.
If you're hanging out there while I wander in, you can come in with me.
Stop it.
I'll bring people in with me.
I know you will, Matthew. That's why I need to put the kibosh on this right now.
Whatever.
Baltimore.
Somebody can be my plus one. I don't care.
There you go.
I'm not. The wife is staying home.
Hey.
So it's fine.
Love it.
Baltimore. We'll see you mañana.
Peace out.
You're in the 06010. Never gonna hustle in case you didn't know. Matthew Berry, TMR.
Go ahead, give me grief for being on SportsCenter for 45 seconds.
I think you could do better than me because I don't think you could.
Jailbait, Field Yates.
You're terrible at hashtag improv.
At Field Yates. At Field Yates.
Stefania Bell.
Oh, don't let Barry convert you.
Secret Squirrel Daniel Dunn.
Make it happen.
Media.